from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Last night, as I recall, we said it was one of the best Cubs games all year. Yeah. This one isn't too far behind when you consider the great outing by Imanaga, the clutch hits by the Cubs. They lead 4-0, out-hitting Baltimore 11-8. So I'm just going to say these two games have been the best moment of Cubs baseball in quite some time.
Couldn't agree more. You've covered the whole aspect of the game. You've played good defense. You haven't had an error in a couple days. Situational hit. You've hit with runners in scoring position. You had great pitching.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Cubs baseball comes your way in an hour. Tonight, the Cubs go for a series sweep of the Orioles. Pregame at 5. First pitch, 5:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. And you just heard Ron Coomer, so I should mention that you can meet the Coom Dog 7 to 8:30 Friday, July 19th at his restaurant, Coom's Corner in Lockport. Coom will meet fans, sign autographs, give away memorabilia, and more. It's all brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sports.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best two wins of the year? These last two? It's in Baltimore.
It certainly feels... I mean, what they had a series win over the Brewers, right, early.
But this is an established, great team in Baltimore that you've gone to and played very, very well. So now the Cubs have won 5 of 6, and it's happening.
Yeah, that May 3rd, 4th, and 5th series is what I was thinking of against the Brewers, where they lost the first and then took the next two. But yeah, I mean, that was very early in the year when they were 20-21-14. So it's been a while.
You know what's happening is they've got three hitters going. They got three guys going, man.
Bush, Hap,
and Seiya.
Seiya,
yes. The last 30 days, Hap has the fourth best OPS in the National League. Michael Bush, the 12th best, Seiya a little lower, 37th best, but hitting it very hard. All three of them with an OPS over 800 in the last 30 days. And then I looked at this. Since June 1st, the bullpen has the 6th best bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball. Since June 1st. So the bullpen has leveled off a little bit. There's more enforcements on the way. They've got three hitters who are actually all rolling at the same time.
Yeah, we should remind people, though, if they are just tuning in or didn't hear it earlier, Bellinger did have a fracture in his finger and is on the injured list. Canario is coming up for the Cubs.
Yeah. So, because you had the question today that we were going to do.
Well, like, the question was basically, we break the season up into schedule, or into chunks based on the schedule, and sometimes I make fun of you for it because the chunk will be like, the next 42 games are against teams. Well, that's 25% of the season. But they are now 5-1 in their last 6, and there are 5 to go before the deadline, and they're 44-49. So not before the All-Star break, not the deadline.
Yeah.
So what do they need to be by the deadline in order for them to be where they were last year, which was small buy? Not a mortgage the future buy, but we're not selling, we're not breaking up the team, we think we can make the playoffs even if it's just the wild card, and we'll keep the team together because meaningful games in August, September, and maybe October is a good thing.
So July 31st, the morning of July 31st, when they're getting ready to play their third game in Cincinnati, right?
Right, so there's 5 games before the break. And then it's, what, a dozen games? three in Arizona, three in Milwaukee, three in Kansas City, and three in Cincinnati. So 17 games until the break.
17 games. You could think about how many of those they need to win. You could think about the wild card standings, because right now where they are, they're only ahead of a few teams in the National League, but they're actually, you know, pretty close to the wild card. Where are they in the wild card as it stands right now?
Well, because, yeah, I mean, there are games that happened. You know, that Pirates-Brewers game was earlier today. So let me refresh the old system here.
The old wild card standings.
Right, so they're 9.5 out of the division, mm-hmm. and they are 3.5 out of the final wild card spot, which is a virtual tie right now between the Mets and Padres for the third and final wild card spot.
So there's five teams between them and call it the Mets for now. It's the Padres, Diamondbacks, Pirates, Giants, Reds, and Cubs. So
yeah.
could get there on the standings and kind of figure it out that way. But Jed has told us what happened last year. What he told us is that he sent out a memo, and we'll talk to Jed tomorrow. He sent out at 2:30 right here on Parker and the Spiegel. He was sent out a memo to the entire baseball operations team with their playoff odds every morning of July. And then they eventually decided to buy. And I can tell you that last year, coming out of the All-Star break, they had lost 3 out of 4 out of the break, and their playoff odds stood at 6%. Okay? 6%. Right now, the playoff odds stand at 10.8%. Last year, by the time they got to 53-52 and decided to buy, they were up at 27.4% for postseason odds. So above 25% with the stretch that he had watched was reason enough for Jed to buy. So, look, I have my issues with postseason odds because I feel like if you're watching the games and seeing the context, then you know what it feels like, and it's a little reductive. But there's the numbers wonks. There's the baseball front office telling you they look at the postseason odds. Last year, they got to 27.4%, and that was enough. So this year, it stands to reason they'd need to get to at least 25% to feel like they could buy.
It's a good line of questioning for him tomorrow. See if he's even sending the same emails. Because right now, Fangraphs says they're 10.5% to make the playoffs.
Yep.
So
that was at 10.8. It's now at 10.5 because the Brewers lost, I guess. Probably something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So it just climbs a little. It's interesting. It's thinking about the calculations. So yeah, it's a good line of questioning for him. So at least they need to get, maybe in the standings, that means having a couple fewer teams between them and the wild card.
I was just going to say that. It's not the number of games back. It's the number of teams you need to jump.
I agree.
That's
going to affect the odds a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not, okay, you got to be 4 games better than one team. No, you got to be 4 games better than 5 teams. That's very, very, very difficult to do. They dug themselves a significant hole.
They absolutely did. Look, if they go 12-5 in these 17 games, which is obviously a long shot, but
because then that would also be 17-6 in 23 games. Because they're 5-1 in their last 6 right now.
There you go. So it'd be 17-6 would be that'd be a hell of a run.
Yeah,
that'd be a hell of a push.
Yes, it would be.
If they do something like that, I bet their odds end up about where they need to be.
If they do that, they won't sell. They won't sell. If they have won 17 of their last 23 games heading into the trade deadline, they will not sell. They have too much money invested in the team.
Yeah, because they wanted it to be what it is. They want the full year of intrigue and interest, and it's a year where they're supposed to be winning. I agree.
But that's a pretty extreme outcome. I think that one's pretty easy, the first scenario that you just presented, personally.
Okay.
Because I just think that they would be able to say to themselves, oh, well, we're going to pass these teams.
We're at 17-6 in our last 23. Also, at the beginning of the year, we went 17-9.
Yeah, so, and then we got ravaged by injury.
Uh-huh. And 2 weeks became 4, became 6, became 8, as Jed has said.
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty easy stand pat, small buy spot.
So 17-6 in their last 23.
Yeah.
If they're 16-7, if they're 15-8, it's probably still a stand pat.
Probably.
We'll see what the other teams have done and where the playoff odds will be.
Yeah, but they need to play winning baseball from now until the trade deadline, and it can't be like a game over.
If it were me, I would need to know that my roster is in a particular place. I would need to know a couple things. For instance, I would need to know that all three dudes who are rolling right now are still rolling. I'd want to feel real good.
What if it was a different three guys? Like, what if it was Dansby instead of Bush? Or if it, you know...
Well, you'd need them. You'd need them too, because in addition to the three dudes, you'd need at least a couple other guys trending in the right direction.
Morrell would be nice.
So, look, the last 30 days, Bellinger and Nico both have an OPS under 700. Morrell, the last 30 days, has an OPS under 600. Dansby's at 505.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, it's brutal, man. And you know from what Sahadev showed you that time and then has written in articles, and we know it's similar to what they look at, these little 15-game rolling stats.
Yeah, the rolling averages.
What's the quality of the contact? And then they look at their proprietary thing about the swing decisions. But what's the quality of the contact over the course of 15 games? Are they really hitting the ball hard? So they'll look at that stuff. I think they need to see, if it were me, I would need to see at least five dudes who are hitting pretty well. So I'm not banking on, you know, three and then nobody else is going to find it. You need to feel like some of your other guys are going to find it at that point. Offensively, that's one of the things that I would need to feel, that all three of these guys plus a couple more need to find it, and I got to feel good about them by the end of the month.
I think that what you're saying is totally reasonable. I don't know. I mean, is it five guys? Is it four guys? Like, it feels a little, that feels a little arbitrary, because we know the game is so hard and so streaky that a guy could go into a bad streak on August 2nd you know, so to me,
but I'm talking about quality of contact, not necessarily production. So production stats.
But yeah, you're quoting me production stats, and it is tied to also winning. That's the thing. Council has said this pretty clearly. He said it to us and other people. He's like, what does it matter? It's useful. It's useful information for, a big picture thing or a long term thing, but for a season, for a team, an individual year, you got to win. So if they are like projecting well but not winning, or they're hitting well but they're losing 7-6 or 6 or 9-8 or whatever, it's like it's not going to matter because of the thing that Dan and Lawrence referenced the other day. You and I have referenced it 100 times. What Theo said to us in the bleachers in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Every season is precious. Every opportunity to sell is precious, even in a competitive window.
For sure. But Theo was secure. They had just won the World Series. Jed is in a spot where they're expected to win finally, and they are not. I think.
Yeah,
Jed...
but what did Council say to us? What did Council say? Who might have more power than Jed? When we asked him about that Theo theory, he said, just make the good decision. Just make the right decision.
Yeah. I don't think Council has more power than Jed as of right now. I don't think he does. I think that's in play for next year, and obviously if he were to outlast him, which is entirely possible. But I don't think he has more power than Jed right now.
So if this team, let's say they played 500 baseball. They went 8-9 or 9-8. In the 17 games.
And by the way, we should adjust it. Texter correctly points out the deadline is July 30 this year, not 31st.
Oh, okay.
So they move it to the 30th.
Yeah, good point by the Texter. Thank you. So 16 games.
16 remaining games.
So if they go 8-8 in the next 16 games, you're saying Jed, because of his job status, is
because
standing
of his aspirations
pat or buying? No. I don't believe that.
Maybe standing pat. Maybe standing pat. Depends what they see.
Listen, they don't have a lot of great options to sell unless you're going to, because they're not going to fully tear it down. They will go in the next year with an expectation of winning.
Hmm.
But the question will be like, it'll be uncomfortable. It'll be, would you sell high on Ian Happ?
You can't sell on Ian Happ. He's got a no trade clause that he negotiated in.
He'd have to agree to it.
Yeah.
Saya has one also.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Nico,
get a guy to agree to a no trade. Guys waive no trade clauses.
I know, but Hap loves it here. His wife is from here.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It's why he negotiated it. But yeah. Fine. Remove that from it. Yeah, Nico, would you do it? To open up more offense for the position? I think that they probably wouldn't.
No, and I think they shouldn't. I thought Layla's take, which went a little viral, and you can hear it in a promo about, like, it just goes against what you are as an org and what you are trying to establish. This is a homegrown guy you drafted. He's here. You sign him to a very manageable deal. He can play short. He can play second. It's criminal to be thinking you need to shed that money for whatever reason.
Oh, I don't think it would be about money. I think it would be about, can we get better slug?
I don't know, but they're so close to that first level of the tax that it's like, you know, we've talked about what's going to change between this year and now and next year to a core to not have you back in this same spot. I think they would like to find a way to shed some money. And now the Bellinger thing has put a wrinkle into that. In a big way.
But I mean, you could shed a little bit of money on Neres. Mm-hmm. If no one's going to give you much for him.
Well, what
but
other
you
part
you could
of
trade
this,
Tyone?
As long as you mentioned the bullpen and the rotation, I hadn't talked about that. In terms of the rotation, I need Assad and Hendricks healthy and in the rotation along with your big three. Like, your rotation needs to continue to be the strength that it has been. It has to still be so. So if I'm even considering buying, I need to know, because Ben Brown is still nowhere injury-wise. Wesneski had a great start earlier in the week, but I think you need Wesneski in your bullpen. I think you need Wesneski as, like,
you need
your long guy, your swing guy in the bullpen. And Cade Horton is nowhere as well. In the bullpen, you need Julian Merriweather, who pitched in Iowa last night. I think threw 11 pitches, topped out about 96.5 mile per hour. You need Merriweather back. If you're going to tell me that you're buying, I would need to see Merriweather and Leiter, who's back now. So Merriweather and Leiter available to set up Neres, or maybe you're going to buy a closer at that point and Neres will slot down. But you need Merriweather and Leiter healthy and productive. I guess it's Luke Little and Tyson Miller beyond that. Smiley and Wesneski as your swings. And then maybe it's Hunter Biggie, who threw an inning the other night and looked good. But, like, I would need to know and feel like my roster is in a place that I believe is sustainable for the last couple of months of this season before I would make a buy. Even if they were to go, 10-6. If they go 10-6 in these last 16.
And that's 15-7 in the last 22.
You think it's a buy?
Yeah, I do. I think what you're saying makes sense. I think what you're saying would be the type of conversations that they would have, but I don't think that they'd sell 15-7 heading into a break or heading into a deadline. I don't think it'd be a sell. It might be a stand pat. Might be a stand pat. Hmm. And they would just say, there wasn't any deal that was available to be made.
It could be a stand pat.
But I would say that this team, I'm not back in on them yet. I'm watching. I'm excited by these wins. They are good wins. There is time left in the season. But I don't think a massive sell-off is coming. I don't think a massive buy is coming. I don't think a big move is coming. This team hasn't... Last year was an 83-win team. This year's an under 500 team. They're spending a bunch of money. They're close to the tax threshold. I think that what's most likely here, small sell, stand pat, small buy, like a very insignificant deadline in either direction based on the results of these next 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, we're just going to play it out. We're just going to play it out and kick the can down the road a little bit. Because it's not like they have a bunch of guys on expiring deals that are obvious trade candidates for rentals.
No, if anything, I mean, maybe they sell Tyson Miller you know, who they and then they found say we're still and turned into something.
Yeah, we're still trying to contend, but
just wanted to get something while we could here at the deadline. Yeah, something like that.
I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a pretty underwhelming deadline.
I would need to feel really good about the roster in the ways that I described, in addition to having those playoff odds rise to a 24%, 25% threshold.
This is a bigger topic that I shouldn't throw out right now,
sure,
but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you think they regret not trading Morrell in the offseason?
It's a good question. The power is still there.
Yeah.
The potential still feels there offensively, but now the numbers have crept to brutal, brutal spots. And it's weird, man. It's hard because his season is weird.
It is weird. He was their best until this Bush surge and the half thing, obviously. Like, he was their best home run hitter, OPS guy, like, even at the beginning of the year.
Sure. But and it was also, there was this long stretch where, like, his chase rate was way down.
Yeah, it looked like a guy who was ready to break out.
The walk rate was up. It just, it felt like all the peripherals were right there, along with the power swing for it to really take a leap forward, but it has not. They do still have no idea where he is positionally. It's been a bit better at times when he's played third, but it's a good question. It's a good question for Jed tomorrow. At 2:30.
A clip on Twitch that we play often of the last like monologue speaks that you had on Christopher Morrell and the hype around him. This is like around the start of the season. It might have been like end of April, and him talking about how much he was concentrating on just hitting line drives and going the opposite way. He, in a way, does not do that at all. He's turned himself back into a dead pull hitter.
Yeah.
And they just want him to hit the ball as far as he can, pull it, and hope it finds the gap. He's abandoned completely what he said he was going to do. Hmm. So like that transition into thinking you're going to become like a more all-around baseball player to like just trying to sit with the comfort of, I'm a dead pull hitter, let me hit the ball far. I bet that's messing with him a little bit.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It's a good point. It's interesting. Yeah, so that take not aging well, the one that we keep.
Not playing. Your fault. You just read his quotes. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Ian Happ, your cleanup hitter in the lineup tonight. So Ian Happ officially has played as many games as the Chicago Cub as Derek Lee. That's crazy to me, man. Ian Happ's been around a long ass time.
Yeah, that is weird to think about. I agree. Yeah, we should. We'll certainly have time before the deadline here. The Nico conversation is an interesting one that we should continue to have, because you think it's more performance related that they're even considering it, and I think it's a desire to shed themselves of some future money. Keep it fungible, keep it malleable, I should say, every year payroll wise.
We can keep talking about it, but like, if Nico is here, no one's taking Dansby. Michael Bush is one of your best hitters, and he's cheap. That's first, second, short. You have left with a no trade clause. You have PCA in center. You have Seiya in right. The only options on the team for change would be DH, catcher, and third. And Morrell is here. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking for guys who are underperforming offensively, that don't have no trade clauses, that maybe have hit their ceiling. I obviously don't want Nico Horner to get traded, and I think that his value defensively is enormous, but they're kind of locked in at a lot of position groups, and they need to get better in the big picture. So maybe it's just a slugging DH, but... or obviously catcher would be nice, but there's just not that many options with how the team is built.
You mentioned Happ hitting cleanup. Miles Mastroboni plays third base today in right field at Seiya Suzuki, Pete Crow Armstrong at center. Tomas Nito is the catcher. So no Bellinger, if anybody missed it. Bellinger on the injured list, 10-day injured list with that fractured middle finger.
Spiegs took a weird vacation. He won't even tell us where he went. That comes in a little less than 20 minutes, but baseball could learn something from another big sport. It's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.